Hello, this is Brian McLean, and welcome to Our Story with God, episode 15, Life in Captivity. So last week was, unfortunately, a very unpleasant chapter in the life of the Hebrews, in their history, where both the northern and the southern kingdoms fell. So no longer would a Hebrew man be in charge. No longer were there judges or kings. And at this point in time, not even a temple with priests. So there's a very dark period in Israel and Judah's history as they are living lives in captivity. So I love to travel. I don't know if you've ever visited a foreign country, been away from home for an extended period of time. My very first overseas adventure was to Europe. And when I came home after 20 days of traveling away from home, away from my parents even, it was my brother and I on a music trip with a bunch of other high school aged musicians. When we landed back in the land of the free and the home of the brave, we landed in Boston's Logan Airport. And I literally, as we got off the plane, I got down on my hands and knees and I kissed the ground. It was great to be home. But what if you couldn't go home? What if you were forced away from everything that you knew and you were put into a different culture and you couldn't go back to the way things were? And what if you weren't allowed to worship the way you believed you should be worshiping? And that was exactly the situation for these individuals. And so the Bible actually gives us a few stories of people who had this very difficult circumstance, and several of them handled themselves very, very admirably. So the first that we'll take a look at is Jeremiah. And you remember Jeremiah had been a prophet, and he had been speaking God's word that devastation was going to fall. And he was not actually taken away at the beginning into captivity. The Babylonians actually allowed him to stay home. Jeremiah actually ended up being sort of, if you can say he was taken into captivity, he was kind of taken by his own countrymen who tried to escape Babylonian control of Jerusalem, and they tried to escape to Egypt. And so unfortunately, he got caught up in that. But he wrote, he continued to speak God's word, and he wrote letters, and he gave some of the most inspiring and uplifting words to his countrymen who had been carried away. Jeremiah 29 records, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And a couple of verses later, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." He is giving hope. He does tell his countrymen they need to prepare for a long stay in Babylon, and he actually rebukes several of the false prophets who are saying otherwise. Among the first exiles, the first time that the Babylonians rolled through town, they took some of the children. They brought in several of the youth of Jerusalem back to Babylon and trained them in their ways. And some of them are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they would have been brought in to be trained in the ways of the Babylonians. And they were given the finest education, also the finest food, even if it wasn't according to Mosaic law, because the Babylonians were training these young men to be Babylonians and to stand before the king. And they actually changed their names. So Daniel was named Belteshazzar. Hananiah became Shadrach, Mishael became Meshach, and Azariah became Abednego. And this was not only changing their names and their identity, but it was also each of their names had a relationship with God, the God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel. And the new names the Babylonians gave them to, they were related to the gods of the Babylonians. And so you think about this situation. How would you deal with it? You've had someone taking away your identity, taking away your belief, and kind of forcing theirs on you. But they stayed true to what they believed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were famous for not bowing down to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had set up and being thrown into a fiery furnace. But God honored when they honored him, he saved their lives. And if you listen to what Nebuchadnezzar said, he said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command." That was his command. They set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own true God. "Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." What a testimony to the God who saved them. And also an amazing story of how people who really had nothing to call their own in this culture stayed true. Daniel, the same way, he kept rising to preeminence first in Babylon and then in the Medo-Persian Empire that replaced it later. He became very, very powerful. And those that desired his power and his authority couldn't find anything wrong with him. So they actually tricked the king into saying, "Oh, let's pass a law that nobody can pray to you." And as a consequence, Daniel continued to pray. They arrested him and were going to throw him into the lion's pit to be eaten alive. But Darius, the king, he hoped that Daniel would be saved. And when he was, Darius proclaimed, "I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." And so here we have people who honor God when it would be completely easy to step away from the beliefs that they had been raised with in staying with the culture around them. They rejected that culture. They stayed true, and they brought glory to God through it, and God glorified himself through them. Finally, many of the people of Jerusalem were allowed to return, but many stayed willingly where they had kind of grown and set up roots. Two of those were Mordecai and Hadassah. Mordecai became an official at the royal gate when his cousin Hadassah, who had been orphaned and Mordecai was raising, she was actually taken and became the queen. And we know her now as Esther. And Esther also risked her life to go before King Xerxes to stand up for her people, the Jews, in the famous story, the sort of the battle with Haman and the destruction that he wanted to bring onto the Jewish people. And so King Xerxes ended up finding out, okay, I've actually married a Jewish woman, and God was glorified and the people were saved through those two, Mordecai and Esther. And so you see sort of an echo of what we'd seen from Joseph hundreds of years before in Egypt, where people were honoring God and staying true to him in a foreign land, and God stayed true to them and honored them as well. And they all faced tremendous difficulties and threats, and yet they persevered. So take a moment, study the word. An interesting note: how long after Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's first dream, found in the opening chapters of Daniel, was it that Jerusalem fell? You see, Jerusalem fell after Daniel had already become known to the king of Babylon. So compare the timelines in Daniel with that of either 2 Chronicles or 2 Kings to get the answer. And then think about it. These individuals had amazing courage in the face of certain death. Many of them thought, okay, I'm going to die. Whether Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel, or Esther going before the king, they thought, okay, I'm going to die if I stay true, and yet they did. What makes a person have that kind of decision, and how would you act? How would you face that kind of danger? So thanks for listening. Next week, we're going to look at a very hopeful chapter, the episode on return, rebuild, and renew. Thank you for listening.